Radio Verte presents Ahuga by Corey Zimmerman.
Smokey Joe, Act 2.
I can't sleep at night. I can't eat a bite. Cause the man I love, he don't treat me right. He makes me feel so blue. I don't know what to do. Sometimes I sit and cry, and then begin to cry, cause my best friend said he's left.
Jump. Right this way, my man, says Docs. Docs, craftsman on the sacks. Entering the candy shop, I nod to the brute behind the counter. The brute, 6 feet 6 inches tall and cross-armed, towering behind endless jars of candy, a sugary stickiness of the eye caught between us. Endless jars of candy, Baby Ruth, Butterfinger, Christmas Charms, Charleston Chew, Chicken Bones, and so on, as stale as the air. Seeing that Lucy's Grocery sells whiskey out of the latrine down the block, and the church on the corner unloads sacramental wine by the confessional gallon, I'm not surprised to see Docs walk right into the ladies' room with nothing but a nod and devoid of any trace of indignity. Sacks in hand, Docs knows every speakeasy from the French Quarter to Chi-Town, and every juke joint along the 925 nautical miles of muddy waters between. Here on the south side of Chicago, three blind tigers to the block, 5 years deep into the great experiment. The dread 16th of January had brought about a rush of jukes as elegant as a chandelier of colored glass, a boom of joints as rough-hewn as raw lumber, fine hotels, holes in the wall, back doors tucked away in the subterranean, and the mystery room. A joint Doc swears will knock my socks off. Scratch that itch, as he puts it. The mystery room is apparently through the ladies' room at the back of this nameless candy shop. The ladies' room. Walls papered dark purple, flower print. A gold lacquer chair right where the toilet once sat. A ceiling bordered with gold crown molding. Nothing else but a wash basin remains. Doc pushes on the inside wall, and a secret door opens to a flight of stairs dropping below. I follow on his heels along an underground passageway lit by gas lanterns. Head high on the uneven brick walk, a muffled yet growing beat of wonderment reverberating through the steel door, steadily looming before us. Docs knocks twice in quick rhythm, and with delay, a third final thud. A narrow slat slides open on grease, and the squinty, suspicious eyes peering out quickly soften at the sight of Docs. Piggy, piggy, Doc says with a casual smirk, though no word is ever needed for Docs. After the clank of a bolt, a series of unlocked latches, and a clunk of a shaft, the door swings wide open to a pair of wide-open arms. A sensorial tidal wave of pine and juniper and raw moaning blues, a perfect storm of every occasion having arrived right at my feet. Oscar Clyde Olson never tires of these hidden hollers of wonderment. The guard at the golden gates, the jewels of joy, and spirits howling and pouring free to drown out our collective misery, greets Docs. Buddy, how you been? Word has it you blowing tonight. Louie, this here my man Oscar, says Docs with a confirming slap to my back. Louie, Napoleon-esque, none too tall, squat, but well-tailored, gesticulate, though kind and jolly, until he ain't. For Docs, warm and welcoming. Oscar, says Louie. Welcome to the Mystery Room. Mystery Room. Open from dusk till dawn. Come on, get out of that cold and grime, says Louie, looking past our shoulders for his own personal gray terrain, kept locked out for the night. Ain't nobody want to hear me spitting this danged up thing, says Docs, steeping into the blue haze within. Who you fooling, Docs? You're a monster on the sacks, says Louie, shutting the door and re-engaging its complex series of locks, finishing with, All the ladies show up to see you blow. Docs love the ladies. The ladies love docs. Melomania. We settle in the back, deep behind two thick tumblers of gin, as well-shined brass glistens on the small stage. A silk-walled joint, a classy spread to say the least. In the dim light of chandeliers that sparkle, this ain't no clip joint, says Docs. Brisk tempos. As I was saying, I say, what you have is both tempo and tone. I'm an addict, my friend, regardless. Shit, man, everybody's addicted to something, says Docs. Look at them milky legs. Gorgeous. You're preaching to the choir, man. And here I thought we was walking, talking music. Opium, I think. But say, I just want to curl up on the floor like a stray dog. You crazy, man. Cheers to that, I say. Got a surprise for you tonight, son. You're gonna hear a little bird a-singing, that's right, he says with sincere offering. Oh yeah, and who's that? I ask. Little bird, man. Don't tell me you ain't never heard of Little Bird. The way it moves, man. The new beat, the shake. Talk about the juice, and here I thought you was cool. And here I thought we were friends, I say. Who is she, I ask, well enticed. She's the boogie-woogie, a legend in the making. But you don't want to act a fool, Oscar. And that's us friends talking. You hear the words I'm saying? Come on, Docs, you know me. Exactly. That's the problem, Oscar. I know you, he says, pausing to point across the room. You see that gorilla standing over there by the stage in that silk suit? That's Marco, Sam's man. And Little Bird is Sam's gal. Sam? I ask. Silver Dollar Sam, street boss of the Cosa Nostra crime family? Marco will mop the floor with your ass. You mess around. Little Bird a high-class girl anyhow. And besides, you a down-home cracker. He says in a feigned tone as he waves over the waitress. The waitress. Clandestine. With a fringed dress adorned with sparkling sequins and a blonde bob with a jeweled accent. She moves gracefully between tables, balancing a tray wet with spilled cocktails. Upon closer inspection, her deep red lipstick is as oozing as her oomph. Docs orders another round, saying, Tell you, man, Little Bird's the best thing to come out of this town. The new beat, man, you'll see. Yeah, we'll see, I say, leaning back in my seat. Don't mess around, Oscar. It ain't no joke. Meanwhile, Louis on standby exudes his air of authority by readjusting his bowler hat to the right degree. His sharp, refined look dulled only by the occasional, though discreet, scratch to an itch on his inner thigh. Eye on duty, he scans the room before settling on a skinny boy, known none other than Skinny, Docs informs me, who is, as I look for myself, indeed, all skin and ankles in a tweed suit. In the word he's heard, Skinny making too many moves, focusing in on 14-year-old Maggie. 14-year-old Maggie, Rosemary's baby sister. Maggie washes glasses behind the bar, across from where her would-be suitor looms. As Doc says, when he ain't tap dancing for tips, that is, adding with a crooked grin. Watch this, Skinny ass about to get tossed. Rosemary, a small yet fierce-eyed woman who runs the joint. Keeping her own eye on Skinny from behind the bar, where she holds court like Helen Morgan, eyes of emerald green wrapped in deep velvet lace. Skinny leans over the bar to murmur something that makes Maggie shudder. Though she keeps her eyes down on task, she slams down a rag, a glass nearly shattering on the floor. Rosemary gives Louis the look, and that's all it takes. And Louis is on Skinny like a fly on shit, as Docs explains it. And drags the boy, who is in a verbal pudding stone of explanation, not outside, but somewhere in the back, from where nothing but a whimper escapes. Above, a sign reads, No shit. Below, another, Bait and Hook. Bait and Hook, entering the cozy wonderland hidden below the candy shop, one rarely has the self-will to leave when the timing is right. This ecstasy of free-flowing booze, legs for days, an intoxicating rhythm. Nonetheless, as the devil's melody plays on, most anything goes as long as the bills are stacked. Gambling, prostitution, all fair game. What is not is disrespect of any kind, apparently including thirsty eyeballs on Rosemary's baby sister, Maggie. What happens in the street is of no matter to Rosemary. She says in so many words, but what happens at the foot of her throne is quite another. and everyone knows it, all but Skinny perhaps. If you play by the rules, you get a free sandwich on the house, a glass of beer, and a shot of gin. But the rest is on the patron. No tabs, cash only, reads the sign. Rosemary, the queen of the South Side who answers the one man and one man only. And that man is Mr. Alfonso Gabriel Capone. Alfonso owns over 10,000 speakeasies easily. While the mystery room belongs to Rosemary, and Rosemary only, she bears one sole responsibility to Al: buy his bootlegged liquor. In turn, he has agreed to supply Rosemary with a steady stream of heavy names to grace her small but mighty stage, a launch pad for many a star, while keeping a mutual relationship with the greats. If he's making his dime, he'll boost anyone's career, and the people love stars, especially the flappers who flock to the dance floor, loose, happy, and free. Setting flappers to the side for a moment, Docs tells me, matter of fact, word is, Silver Dollar Sam in town tonight. It seems there are a lot of words going around. Something about Sam patching up a deal gone rotten with Capone. Something about Capone exporting gin down to New Orleans, Sam's neck of the woods. Something about gin in exchange for Jamaican rum. And tonight, Doc says, Sam's Lady Littlebird, star of Crescent City, will be kicking off her reunion tour across the Chicago Underground, right here on the humble yet velvet-upholstered stage before us. Stage. Five men wax their brass as the chorus girls egress. A guitar, a bass fiddle, a trombone, a horn, and a sweaty sax, all glistening. Stance. The floor sits ready to thunder under stomping feet and shine with sweat and spit. The air, ready to fizzle with love and booze. Amongst laughter, tears, and anticipation, Saturday night, says Docs, sit back and relax and enjoy the show. Okay, as Rosemary dims the room lights, flappers walk right out of the paisley print on the walls. Flappers, on the floor, wanting more and more with gin after gin. Word is, says Docs, taste of that Jamaican rum. In knee-high skirts, the dancing begins, taking the room for a whirl. The band warms up with some Charleston chew. Bare legs and hard-working knuckles digging deep into flesh and deep into pockets to get the night flowing as Rosemary takes the nocturnal to court behind her mahogany bar before pyramids of bottles below a large sign that reads Black and Tan. Black and Tan. Everyone is equal under the law of jazz. And another, a fight a night or your money back. And celebrities and near celebrities welcome. You just might be all the world to your mother, says Rosemary to those who have leaned in close with curious, spectating eyes and reverent focus on her words. But you just a cover charge to me. Rosemary, mixing cocktails to mask the poor quality of Capone's gin-flavored wood grain alcohol. The Alexander, the sweetheart, fluffy ruffles, the pom-pom, otherwise known as creme de cacao. Like a chemist, she mixes up concoctions of rye, ginger, and other essentials to smooth down the rough edges and not cause too significant a distress to the drinker, all under the high, watchful eye of a stuffed jackalope, a raccoon, and an entire stuffed bear wearing a bowler hat, as the real cocktails have fled to Havana, London, and Paris. Truth be told, bad-tasting cocktails are the least of it. Hell, some of the drinks can kill. Just last Christmas, 47 people died after drinking poison liquor. Prohibition has folks drinking gasoline, or so I heard the newsboy shout.
Year's body count, 741.
Sucka, says Rosemary to a man in a silk suit who tips her a $100 bill. You a butter and egg man? She asks with a laugh. Once Rosemary saw the Prince of Wales don an apron and cook some eggs, she bullshits as the light she has dimmed to near total darkness increased the allure of her darkest night eyes. A soft, steady rhythm of percussion sets in, caressing the drum of the ear as the piano carries Little Bird across the stage to blooming applause. The horns fade, and a shit-eating grin spreads across Doc's face from ear to ear. Unlike anything I've ever seen, as he says tenderly, arm curled around my neck, this her right here. chops. The sax serenades her shadowed figure, small and slender, her silhouetted hips wide, thin. The glow of the floorlight graces her perfect hourglass form, a shadow well pronounced on the red velvet curtain behind. Little Bird personifies sexful, I believe I hear Doc say. I'm drawn in, undoubtedly, like a fly on shit. No, like a bead of honey, sticky, sticky honey, and I'm already stuck. Her gown, as blue as a bird. Her hair, short, straight, and midnight. Eyelashes, curled in onto themselves, hanging lazily with weight. A glisten from her shoulder, pecan eyes, bedazzling every man in the room. The band goes silent as she shuts her eyes. Lashes, a dark curtain concealing her young soul. A softening of every sharp edge in the room, and after a beat, a tiny bird on a limb faintly rings the bluest bell.
Good evening.
A trickle of the ivories. And after yet another beat, the release of a lullaby that makes the daddy's cry and mama's weep to the bluest melody.
Blue memories are haunting me, it seems. My lover has gone in my dreams. The blues keep haunting me. My nights are dreary and long. I want you to remember me. To right the wrong, deep mystery of long-lost loved scenes are my blue memories.
Applause. The crowd roars. Little Bird blushes, clasping her small hands together in gratitude. Shy yet graceful, she takes a slight bow before rushing off stage in tiny steps. I throw my drink back and feel utterly lost in this otherworldly tomb of delight. My ears tingle, my heart thumps, and the crowd stomps for more. Chance of encore. After a beat, Little Bird floats back out on stage to another roll of thunder. She controls the crowd and the pace of my heart. And after a soft moment, from her perch, perched high above, more glistening gold in tones.
Stay away from me, because I'm in my sin. Stay away from me, because I'm in my sin. If this place gets raided, it's just me and my gym. Don't try me, nobody else. You'll never win.
Little Bird Man, says Docs, shaking his head in bewilderment. Told you she the best. Docs, buddy, I'm in love, I say, utterly struck, wide-eyed, mind blown to tatters, when suddenly I'm flung back in the boat with a quick reel of a dame who drops in the booth right next to me. Free. She looks up at me with heavy, intoxicated eyes. Line, with thin lips, caked in thick lipstick, cascading ash balancing in one hand, martini in the other. She says with no hesitation at all, for tomorrow we may die. Let's get drunk and make love. Upbeat, we dance. Downbeat, we drop back into a booth, into a back corner, as the roar turns to a rumble. And a soft reflection pond shimmers in a quiet haze as the music dims to a slow bluish blue. An air of inebriation permeates the vein, echoing and shimmering through the dark, steamy room. We whisper side by side. Her name is Betty, and she turns out to be quite the Mad Dame. The Mad Dame wears an old perfume bottle strapped to her thigh. She giggles at nothing and lays her head on my thigh as I happily take another sip from her flask. Come here often? I ask the dame in my lap. Looking up into my eyes, she tells me that one Friday night, she went to a joint with her mother, looking to drag her father right out of there. Once and for all, if it were up to her mother, after all. But as things went, her father didn't want to leave, of course. And Betty says she knew instantly why, saying, My eyes and ears were drunk with wonderment, but mother, after failing with father, grabbed me by the arm and dragged me back to where no one celebrates anything at all, where we all wither away like a sorry old leaf. So she says, she learned to knock two times in that particular way. In that way, we learned to do, to hear the lone saxophone cry. And after a beat, how do you solve such a mystery yourself, mister? I can sniff out hooch like a hound, I tell her, sniffing her hair like sweet syrup as she leans up to rest on my shoulder. And your father? I ask open-ended. Drowned in his own liver? She says matter-of-factly. I'm sorry to hear that, I wish to say. And your mother? I ask. Don't know, don't care, the old wench, she says. So where do you stay? I ask. Rosemary rents rooms above the candy shop, she says. Why? Looking for a place? Turns out I am. So she says Rosemary might compromise. What kind of compromise, I think to ask. But running barrels, I suppose. And what do you do for Rosemary? I ask, as she falls back to my lap with a hump. She looks up slowly, timidly, like a puppy who chewed on the wrong right shoe, and with a finger to my lip, make you smile, she says. Well, I'll do it, I say with an exterior smile while internally ignoring my words, throwing the sheets to the wind, per se. Well, don't get your trousers in a bunch, she says. We gotta talk to Rosemary first, taking the wind from my sails. But I suppose, she says with a powerful gust, you can stay with me tonight. Drop beat feel. She sits back up and we share a moment, but Betty's eyes grow heavy, heavier. Lashes, droopy, droopier. Sexful, sexier, quite indeed. Leaning wearily into one another, I place my hand on her thigh and caress its velvety, plump flesh with my calloused thumb. Betty moans. Decrescendo. I lean in further as our interlocked eyes slowly shut and our lips finally touch. And as Doc's saxophone cries out in the night, I dream of dark tunnels and where they might lead.